Hello. Yes, it's the Bright Voice, and it's time to hear the word. I'm Pastor Moses Anu, the overseer of the Bright Assembly Lagos Church. We are located opposite the Apapa Expressway, and we are known for preaching the word. We are known for saying the truth as it is. You will see that as you will be watching this message, especially packaged to inspire you and open your eyes to see and your way through the confusion that is in Christendom today. I believe you're not watching us by accident. The Lord will bless you as you stay tuned for this program today. God bless you.
Children everywhere crying. Sir, in your house, people were everywhere praying, and your wife was in the middle of the house. Sir, what surprised me in that is that same people were digging grave. And as people were digging a grave, and you stood with them, preaching to them to repent. Sir, let me cut the story short. When they brought you out of the casket, and placed you on top of the casket, and they were about to carry you, sir, nobody know how you disappeared and you did not enter the grave. Now listen, everybody was surprised. So the following day, you had a very big crusade in the open field. Millions of people in that crusade. So in that field, miracles everywhere, blind were seen. People from wheelchairs stood up. Healing and deliverance took place. In fact, God used you mightily there. Sir, in the dream, you were asking who saw you dead in a dream that you want to tell the world that you will not enter grave before heaven. Sir, now this is why I brought this out now. Sir, I have seen you having mighty crusade in a dream many times. Now this question. Please, sir, I'm sorry to ask this question. Number one, he has asked four questions. Number one, sir, why do you move mightily in a dream more than physical? Number two, I want to know why you disappeared on top of that casket. Number three, sir, why did you host a big crusade in open field spiritually and you have not done this physical except some programs in the church premises? Finally, he said, sir, why are you so much great and powerful in the dream more than the physical? And they tell me, they worry this man be this and be this woman. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And maybe many of you have seen me in such realm in the spirit, but physically, I still be as I be. Praise the Lord. Be anxious for nothing. Wait, the time will come. There's time for everything. Praise the Lord. The time will come. That's all I want to tell you. Now, on a more serious one now, another person wrote this. He said, dear sir, I was the one that wrote to you some times ago concerning my wife for not agreeing to come with me to the church, that she prefers cherubim and seraphim. I remember I read something like that. But I remembered also that this brother said, apart from difference in the church, it's a very fine wife material. But the story has changed now. He says, sir, it's been one fight after another at home this week. We had a little misunderstanding. She hit me with everything she can carry. Flask, chair, bucket, and others. even tried to strangle me. I don't want to retaliate because my neighbors see me as a Christian. I'm still in pain from that incident. Now, I have called her family and told them about the whole thing. I will send her home for a second touch from her family. Is that right? That is what he has written. Answer me, is that right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sorry, I am confused. Hold on. Sisters, he has decided to send her, his wife, home for a second touch by the family. Is that right? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Listen, church. Amen. Listen, church. Sisters, okay, give me your audience. Thank you, you have passed the judgment. And it is a righteous judgment. Listen. Christianity is not foolishness. Christianity is not stupidity. I want you to note that. The Bible forbids divorce because it is for better, for worse. Now, this for better, for worse is not for good character or bad character. Listen. It's not for good character or bad character. I have had a brother that was telling me recently that his wife told him that, you know, there's nothing you can do. The woman torments him. The testimony is a horrible testimony. It's a very pitiable testimony. And he says, the woman said, you know, it's for better for us. You know, you can't divorce me. If you divorce me, you can't go to heaven. You know that. Hallelujah. The man was not also sharp enough to answer her. You know, you must not torment me. If you torment me, you too, you cannot go to heaven. He would have told her that. But the truth is, such a woman is not ready for heaven. She has seen somebody who wants to go to heaven, and she's all out to make sure he doesn't go to heaven. Because she knows she will not go to heaven. So you too, you're not going to go to heaven. But let me tell you, I also add something to the brothers. The way your wife behaves with you is determined by what she knows you can do and you cannot do. Do you understand what I'm saying? The woman, amen, a woman will relate to you, the husband, based on what she knows you can do and you cannot do. She knows, based on that, she knows her boundaries. She knows, I feel the talk now. If he head loose, he go kill me. So, she knows maybe you are the wild type. Maybe, okay, let me not use that terminology for a Christian. But she knows that when you take a decision, nothing will change your mind. If she knows you are that type of person, she will be careful so that you will not take a decision that will affect her and it will not be able to be changed. Sisters, the Bible forbids divorce, but the Bible does not forbid separation. Therefore, that brother is wise. Send her to her parents. Send her to her parents. If she's going to come back, the parents will sign shorty. Let me tell you, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. If a woman is telling you, I will go, let her go. If you force her to stay, you are going to live in hell, because she says she won't go. You say she should stay. She will make that home miserable for you. Listen, if that woman goes, no woman is complete without a man by her side. A woman that will look at her husband and say he has offended you. What did that man do to you that you carry pressing iron, towers, carry pocket, tower, carry what? Carry knife, pursue him. It's wrong. You are possessed. When I opened the newspaper this morning, that was before I saw this. As I came in this morning, my PA brought this from the suggestion box. Before I saw this, in the newspaper, I saw a little news clip there that says that of all the statistics of mad people in Nigeria, mad people that have been running mad and going to psychiatric hospital and or in the street, anywhere, the statistic, they say 80% are women. I just read it this morning. So when I read this one, now I say, hey, his wife is among this 80%. Because certainly a normal woman will not do that. That person is a psychiatric case. It's a psychiatric case. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And then things began to be put in place because God guides us, his servants. This morning, I prepared a message. Since last week, I'm supposed to preach today. But this morning, the Holy Ghost spoke to me that I should come and preach a message on the serpent seed. And I was wondering, you know, why? Anyway, I still ignored it. I came to the office. I was saying, if I'm going to prepare serpent seed, then I should prepare it very well now. Why will it be this morning? The Holy Ghost will minister to me this morning. Which time I will prepare that message to come again. So I was saying, okay, I'll preach it so day. And then when I came in, our librarian, Brother Okariaku, came to the office and said, sir, that he has been looking for the master copy of the serpent seed message so that they can reproduce it for sale, that he has been looking for it all week, he cannot find it. See, he doesn't know if I can preach that message again so that they can reproduce it for sale. Then I now know that it was God that was actually speaking for me, to me. Amen. And now, true, when you hear, like what we have read now, a woman running, treating her husband like that, and then a woman telling her husband, kuro, you know you can't divorce me. If you divorce me, you go to hell. Then true, I know that there are some serpent seeds here. There are some serpent seeds yoked to some people here, and God wants some people to understand that mystery. And so we go to Genesis chapter 2. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis chapter 2, that's where the serpent seed thing started. If you are there, I'll read about 4 verses, but I'll read verse 8 and verse 9 just to get the picture. Now, this thing we are saying here, some of you have heard it before. I also remember that a brother came to me last week. I don't know if the brother is here. I really wish you are here. The pastor of one of these churches here. You are a pastor in that church before coming here. Are you here? Can you wave your hand? Okay, you are the one. God bless you. And you said you heard me mentioning something about what happened in the Garden of Eden, the serpent seed. You wanted to ask. You were asking me. I didn't have time to discuss with you. I'm happy you are in the church now to hear it also. It's a very deep mystery, brethren. It's very, very deep. You don't hear this preached in any denomination. And this is one of the doctrines that make the denomination say William Branham was false. But I'm telling you, that is the mystery that every true Christian must know. Because that is the mystery that lets you know why you must be born again. If you don't understand that, hallelujah. Because, see, all this we're trying to explain. Anytime we talk about salvation, brethren, we are bringing it from every angle. All we are trying to do in this ministry, particularly, the burden in my heart as I preach, is to achieve just one thing. For somebody to know the meaning of salvation, the meaning of redemption. To know why God sent his only begotten son. You have to know why. You have to understand this. Then you will understand why Jesus Christ said, when he asked, who do men say I the son of man am? And Peter said, thou art Christ, the son of the living God. And he mentioned, he said that upon this rock will I build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I said, which rock? It's a rock of revelation of who Jesus Christ is. If you notice, I quote this scripture almost every week. Every opportunity I have to preach, because I am not an intellectual. I am not one coming to show you that I'm not a theologian. Neither am I a historian. I am a preacher committed with the ministry of reconciliation, to reconcile souls back to their maker. And the process of reconciliation ends in Christ Jesus. It begins with him, it ends with him. That's why in Revelation chapter 1 verse 8, he introduces himself as the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. What does he mean? Alpha and Omega of what? He's the Alpha and Omega for our salvation. Jesus Christ, that is who he is. He is the beginning of salvation. He is the end of salvation. That is who he is. If you know who Jesus Christ is, not knowing him from some cramped thing you cramped, because you hear everybody say, hey, Jesus is the son of God. So you too say, who is Jesus? You too say, Jesus is the son of God. That's all. That's all. He's the son of God. No revelation behind it. And the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is determines how you relate to God. You are still living a careless life because you have not understood God's process for salvation. You have not understood grace. You still go about living a careless life and still carry Bible and go to church as if you are either PDP or AMPP. And then at the slightest opportunity, all you do is move from church to church. If they offend you in brother assembly, you will run and go to redeem. If they offend you in redeem, you will run and go to deeper life. No anchor. Nothing. You are following the Jesus you know nothing about. You see? No. He said, upon this rock I will build my church. So what we try to do is give you the revelation of salvation from every angle. One of the angles is what we're trying to look at now. The doctrine of the serpent seed is deep. And let me tell you something. This thing I'm telling you, Babalawos know it. Occultic people know it. They know what happened in the Garden of Eden. They know. Every Jew knows what happened in the Garden of Eden. They know. But when God, it pleased God to reveal it to Christians, they are too blind to catch the depth. Why? Because that mystery is too deep for the ordinary man. Before we read Genesis, Apostle Paul made a comment on this mystery in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. If you are there, I will read verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Hear what Apostle Paul talked concerning salvation. Concerning salvation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He says, how be it we speak wisdom among them that are perfect? Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Ha! That scripture, Apostle Paul, it was the most revelated of all the apostles concerning the topic of salvation and redemption. He said it's a mystery that God had ordained from when? From when? It was ordained, that mystery. Look, verse 7 is what I'm reading, if you are with me. It said, the hidden wisdom which God ordained when? Before the world. He said, unto our glory. The process of salvation was ordained before the world. Think very well. Doctrine of predestination. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before the world began, I have showed you scriptures that told us that Christ was slain from the foundation of the world. Christ, when did Christ die? According to that scripture, he said from the foundation of the world, Christ was already slain. For who? For you and for me. But when was it manifested? In AD 33. It was in AD 33. Thousands of years. Maybe even millions of years. Because this world is millions of years old. How? The Bible says through foreknowledge. Romans chapter 8 verse 29. Through foreknowledge. Foreknowledge of what? When God was created Adam and Eve. Church, can you listen? When God was creating Adam and Eve, he created the world. He created the animals. He created the man. And he said, it's not good that a man should be left alone. And he created a woman from his side. When he was creating Adam and Eve and he put them in that beautiful garden. Listen, church. Did God know that the serpent will tempt Eve? Did he know? If he knew, can you see? Can I see your hand up? Thank you. Put down your hand. If he didn't know, what did serpent do? Eve took God by surprise. Hey! Eve to say, I know, I will not create this serpent. If now, if that is your position, he didn't know. Can I see your hand up? Oh. No hand is up. Praise the Lord. God
God knew, before your mama marry your papa, did God know that today you'll be sitting down here? Did he know? Therefore, before the foundation of the world, God knew that he was going to create the earth. God knew that he was going to create a man. God knew that an animal that he created will tempt that man. Man will fall. And for him to redeem man before the foundation of the world, God knew that he will have to use another man to die on the cross to bring back those fallen man before the foundation of the world. Did he know it? Therefore, your salvation was not planned the day you came here. Your salvation was not even planned in AD 33 when Christ died. When was your salvation planned? Before the foundation of the world. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is what Apostle Paul is saying there. To our glory. It's to our glory. Before the foundation of the world. And he said it's a hidden mystery. Because if we read on, let's read on. Hallelujah, let's read on. Verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If they had known that mystery, if they had known it, they will not have crucified the Lord of glory. I thank God they didn't know it. Aren't you happy they didn't know it? Are you not happy they didn't know it? Praise the Lord. Because if they had not killed him, where will you be today? Which hope will we have? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's go to how God presented what he had known in advance. How he presented it in the scriptures. And hid it from those who claim they know that they are doctors of divinity. They are doctors of philosophy. They are this, they are that, and know nothing. God purposely blinding their eyes to it. But came down to common people like you and me and revealed this to us. He called us his bride. His bride. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So Genesis chapter 2. Hallelujah. If I don't finish it today, I'll finish another time. Amen. Now Genesis chapter 2 verse 8. It says, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. Now, verse 9, there are three sets of trees there in verse 9. So follow it. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is planted to the side and good for food. That is one set of trees for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden. That is the second tree there, type of tree in the garden. And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Three types of trees we are in the Garden of Eden. One was for food. The other one was the tree of life. And the second one was the tree. I mean the third one. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And see the specific instruction God gave them in verse 16. Verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden, thou may freely eat. That is, you are free to eat the trees for food. You are free to eat the tree of life. But, hallelujah, verse 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that's the third one, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Thou shalt surely die. And we know, in Genesis chapter 3, hallelujah, blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. for those, for emphasis. I know this story, everybody has read, every Christian read it. But there are some things we can pick out there quickly. Verse 1. He said, now the serpent was more subtle. Subtility here. Thank you very much. That's the word, smart. He was very smart, more intelligent than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. So he was a special animal. And he said unto the woman, so this is the first time we see an animal communicating with human beings. Amen. He was so smart, so intelligent, until he could speak and convince a woman to disobey God. Okay, let me read on. Hallelujah. And he said unto the woman, yea, had God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig trees together and made themselves apron. I read on. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Who told you? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat? And the man said, everybody likes to pass bunk. The woman who thou gavest to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. That is, the serpent deceived me, and I did eat. And brethren, if you read down that chapter, that marked the beginning of the sufferings of mankind on earth. And it looks like a very simple story like that. Brethren, you have to understand something, that certainly what you see on earth today is not what God desired the world to be. You want to imagine that God decided to bring his children on earth here to be hiding from witches and wizards, to be tormented by occultic people, to be haunted by hired assassins, ritual killers, armed robbers, thieves, a life of uncertainty. The great God that dwells in eternity, if he's to bring forth a child after his likeness in his own image, he will bring forth an eternal child. What happened that man cannot live eternally anymore? Death came. And every day, as the world continues, the age of human being is reducing. If the Lord tarries, one of these days, if a man reaches 20, 20 years before he dies, they will celebrate. They will say, he lived long. Huh? He lived long. How old? He died at the age of 20. You say, you are laughing? Abraham, Methuselah, how old did he die? 969 years. How old did Abraham die? From there on, you see people living 800 years, living 900 years, living 700 years, 600 years, 500 years. The thing reduce. Now, if a man is 100 years, pressmen will be snapping his photograph. 100 years. Ah, Baba, you try. It's a miserable condition of mankind. But the thing that is making you to reduce in your lifespan was injected into you from the Garden of Eden. Now, hallelujah. You were told that what happened in the Garden of Eden was that they ate an apple. Are we not still eating apple today? If you eat apple, will you be naked? Is there any law against apple? They're selling it everywhere. In fact, it's even recommended for good health. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 2 laws were in the Garden of Eden. Those trees there represented 2 things. One, the law of life and the law of death. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those 2 trees there, we are there. They are symbolic trees, not physical trees that grow from the ground. The ones that grew from the ground, they specified grown from the ground for food. But they say in the midst, that is, among in that garden also, there were 2 laws there. The law of life and the law of death. Secondly, it was 2 mysteries there that the world will go through. That's what God was speaking there. The mystery of godliness and the mystery of iniquity. Praise God. The mystery of godliness and the mystery of iniquity. The 2 trees. Amen. Always remember, God created us and made us in his own image. I've explained the image of God. The image of God is not our nose, it's not our height, it's not our complexion, it's not your whatever you think physical. If not, it will be images of God. It's one image of God and in his likeness. Praise God. But he has made every human being and made us free moral agents. He leaves you, he does not force you to do anything. He leaves you to exercise your free moral will. That is one mystery about God and his children that a lot of people do not understand, and they take him for granted. But what he does is, he shows you which way to go. If you follow this way, this is how you will end up. If you follow this way, this is how you will end up. And leaves you to choose which way to follow. Then you understand, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of destruction. But that is the way man has chosen to follow. He has spoken of a hell and a heaven, and tells you, choose hell or heaven. Choose life or death. And people today, they are choosing death. You see, I was passing by somewhere one day, and I saw it's written on a wall. They don't want people to come and urinate on the wall. It's like a public place. Maybe people, they want to stop people from urinating in the wall. So they wrote there. They said, They wrote on the wall. They say, we need your urine for ritual. He said, we are collecting your urine for ritual. It's written there boldly, we are collecting your urine for ritual. And a man stood there, was urinating there. And I saw him and I was laughing as I drove past. I said, man, it's written Kurokoro. This is your urine, what did they give? They are going to collect it for a ritual. He said, ah, can't do nothing, can't do anything. I still stood there, I urinated there. So how else will they stop man from urinating in that place? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That is man for you. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The mystery, the hang that was in the Garden of Eden, the two mysteries there staring before us in the Garden of Eden. Number one is the mystery of the fall of man. And secondly, the mystery of the restoration of man. Those are the two trees that were there. The tree of life was there to give life. Hallelujah. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil was there to see whether you will obey God or not. Till today, that law is still here. Even in this present stage of salvation, even after he has saved you, he still gives you chance again to live a life that will give you peace on earth, or live a life that will make life rough and miserable for you on earth. It still happens till today. But man, in his characteristic estate, will always choose the wrong one. Okay, let's come back home. Well, to conclude that, first and foremost, the mystery of the two mysteries now, the two mysteries produce something we will look at as the sermon goes on. One is that the mystery produced the birth of the seed of the serpent. What happened in the Garden of Eden produced a seed for the serpent, and it was because of the seed of the serpent that we came about the birth of the seed of the woman. As we see in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, and Revelation, Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. Hallelujah. The mystery of iniquity, which is the mystery of the fall of man, listen, it began with the birth. That is where it began. That mystery of iniquity began with the birth of the seed of the serpent. That is when that mystery began. It began with the seed of the serpent, and it will end with the manifestation of the Antichrist. That is where that mystery ends. And the mystery of godliness also began with the birth, the virgin birth of the seed of the woman. And it ends with the God-man, Jesus. He's a God-man. He's a man-God, God-man, Jesus. Hallelujah. Remember, Genesis chapter 3. Let's see something here. Genesis chapter 3. Immediately in verse 13, immediately the woman said, the serpent beguiled me. I want you to watch what happened there. When God asked Adam, Adam, what did happen? Adam said, now this woman, where you give me kosamu? God went to the woman. Woman, what happened? The woman said, now the serpent beguiled me. God did not ask the serpent, what it happened. The next thing you hear is verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, his own was judgment straight. Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shall thou go, and dust shall thou eat all the days of thy life. Now, you can see that it means the serpent became a reptile crawling after the curse. Before the curse, he was not a crawling animal. He was not a snake before the curse. So the idea of some preachers drawing a snake tied around a tree with apple for mouth, they give one naked woman, you know that it is it's their imagination. There's no revelation to it. Because he was not yet crawling by the time he was giving her that apple. Praise the Lord. He was an upright creature. He was an upright creature. Smart, intelligent. Until he could relate to man and talk to man and reason with man. Hallelujah. The scientists are looking for a missing link between man and animal. The closest animal that resembled a man was not chimpanzee. It's not monkey. Though monkey, there are some human beings that their face look like monkey face. Now, hallelujah, or chimpanzee face. No. The closest was a serpent. That was the link between man and animal. Hallelujah. He caused that animal straight. And now, verse 15. He continued. And I will put enmity between thee, you the serpent, and the woman. And between thy seed. Whose seed? Thank you. Whose seed? Are we reading together? Now let me read it again. God is still talking to the serpent in verse 15. He's still cursing the serpent in verse 15. He said, and I will put enmity between you, the serpent, and the woman that you deceived. And between thy seed. Whose seed? It means serpent hide. And her seed. Whose seed here? Her seed. The seed of the woman. The woman has her seed. Serpent has his seed. And we get to know. Galatians chapter 4. Verse 4. Let us know that Jesus Christ is that seed of the woman. That's why he came by a virgin birth. No man can claim that Jesus Christ is his seed. He was a seed of the woman through the virgin birth. That is the seed of the woman. So there's going to be enmity between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. The seed of the woman here, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Once again, is the Lord Jesus Christ that came through the virgin birth. You have to understand it. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's continue. Which verse am I here? Verse 15. Still have not.
Welcome back. Hope you enjoyed that message. Hope you've been blessed by that message. I was blessed too, because I believe that was inspired of the Lord. Lovers of truth will love what you've just heard. But feel free to call any of the numbers you see on the screen, or better still, visit us at the church auditorium any of our program days for a one-on-one discussion. And let me once again tell you, if you come to the church, just tell the coordinators that you watched Pastor Moses on the television screen and that he has an appointment with you. I give you preference because I know that God wants to bless you. That's why you can watch us at this hour. I'm expecting to see you. Your life will never remain the same as you join us in the bright anointing. God bless you. Just say and